From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A minor earthquake rattled parts of the southern panhandle Sunday night. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the magnitude 4.2 in Misty Fjords was not recorded by Alaska state seismologists until the following day.
Ketchikan Mayor Dave Kiefer was about ready to call it a night when he felt something familiar.
I was laying in bed reading, and I felt the entire house just sort of shimmy a little bit. And I went, oh, I know what that is. I've felt that before.
So he did what anyone in the 49th state does after a little shake, checked the Alaska Earthquake Center's website.
Zippo. Nada. Nothing.
A little while later, there were a few earthquakes listed in other parts of the state, but still nothing near Ketchikan. So Kiefer decided to check in with some seismologists to the south.
What happened last night was a moderate-sized earthquake, magnitude 4.2.
That's Hong Kao, a research scientist at the Geological Survey of Canada. His agency pinpointed the epicenter about 50 miles southeast of Ketchikan, 10 kilometers below the Misty Fjords, just barely on the U.S. side of the border.
Its location is right around the border between Alaska Panhandle and B.C. And the exact location is about 68 kilometers north-northwest of Prince Rupert.
A magnitude 4.2 isn't a huge earthquake by any stretch, but Kiefer says he was still a little peeved when he woke up the next morning and state seismologists hadn't noted the earthquake.
Seriously, what are we, chopped liver?
Between 9:57 p.m. Sunday when the earthquake struck and 6 a.m. the next morning, the state's automated seismic stations recorded 11 earthquakes all over the state, but there was still nothing listed near Ketchikan on the websites of the U.S. Geological Survey or the Alaska Earthquake Center.
And usually the state does a real good job. I never have any complaints about them, but it's kind of puzzling. It's like maybe they thought we were part of Canada. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there. But you would think it would show up on the Alaska website at some point.
It wasn't until Monday afternoon that Alaska authorities acknowledged the earthquake. Alaska Earthquake Center senior scientist Natalia Rupert chalks up the miss to inadequate seismic sensor coverage.
Unfortunately, our network in that region is not as comprehensive. So at the moment, so last night, we actually missed detecting that earthquake. But this morning, we actually went back and looked at our data and reanalyzed that data, and we were able to report on that earthquake as well.
And while she says the Alaska Earthquake Center does its best to include as much data from Canadian earthquake sensors as possible, she says Alaska earthquake monitors weren't receiving data from nearby Canadian stations on Sunday night.
We tried to exchange data about the network's change, and sometimes they update things and those updates don't propagate all the way into our system.
Hong Kao from the Canadian Earthquake Agency says stations in Prince Rupert and Haida Gwaii picked up the shaking, but he says it's unlikely that a larger earthquake would go unnoticed.
If we have a relatively big event, then all the stations, you know, far and near can detect the signal and therefore can be located by any agencies. But for events that's smaller than magnitude 5, usually only local stations can detect the event better.
Kiefer, the Ketchikan mayor, says he's not especially concerned that domestic agencies missed the quake. He says it's just nice to show up and be counted. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
So far this year, 15 people have died in Alaska jails and prisons, the most since 2015. 7 of the people who died were in custody for less than a month. The Department of Corrections screening process, record-keeping policies, and security practices mean there should be a lot of documentation of what led up to these deaths. But the department says it can't disclose much. They're limited by confidentiality policies and health privacy laws. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports that family members and activists are sounding the alarm that this is a crisis that needs special attention.
Early one morning this summer, Nora Brown got a knock on her door in White Mountain, a small community near Nome. It was a village public safety officer letting her know that her 20-year-old daughter, Kitty Douglas, had died in jail. She'd only been there for 6 nights. It was a shock. They had talked on the phone recently, and Brown thought her daughter was safe at Highland Mountain Correctional Center after bouncing between an Anchorage youth shelter and homeless encampments. The VPSO didn't know what specifically happened, but Brown later found out through the state medical examiner that it was a suicide. She's learned little else from the authorities.
That's unavoidable. I know it.
Brown says her daughter had some known mental health issues and should have been under close watch.
I would rather die instead of be in hell. That was some of the things she expressed to some people here when they talked of jail. That was her train of thought. I'd rather die instead of be in jail.
Brown says she wants to file a wrongful death case against the state.
I would like to see them do their job, follow their own guidelines, and do what they could do best as they can, especially with people that they know are suicidal, people that they know that have mental illness in the case.
Kitty Douglas was the youngest of 15 people to die in the custody of the correction system so far this year. Most were under 40. It's unclear what's behind this year's high number of deaths and why seven died within 2 weeks of going into custody. The department hasn't published the causes of death, with the exception of 91-year-old James Patrick Wheeler. His death in July was related to COVID-19. A department spokesperson said in an email that it takes each death seriously and conducts its own internal investigations, which includes looking for trends or underlying issues. A federal report shows that historically, illnesses are the leading cause of death among Alaska's inmates, followed by suicide and then drug or alcohol intoxication. The Department of Corrections will say that it does not suspect foul play in Kitty Douglas's death or any of the others this year.
No foul play does not mean that these people didn't die at the hands of the system.
That's Megan Edge, director of the Alaska Prison Project for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska.
That's 15 people, some of which who were not convicted of crimes, who were not sentenced. There are people who were convicted but not sentenced to death, dying at the hands of the system.
Edge says her organization hasn't taken any legal action against the state, but it is working with some families of inmates who have died this year and community groups. She says letters were sent to the administration last week asking the state to preserve evidence, such as prison video recordings, in anticipation of future litigation. The organization is also calling on Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to conduct a sweeping review of these deaths and other prisoner conditions.
It's really important that this investigation is done by an independent body, not the state investigating itself, and that the findings of the review are made public. That's how we ensure accountability and transparency.
From there, she says community leaders and policymakers can work on solutions. Some family members, like Nora Brown, have learned the immediate cause of their loved one's death by getting records from the state medical examiner's office themselves. Next of kin are entitled to those reports, but they usually aren't public. A department spokesperson says that many inmates come into the system with, quote, pre-existing and in some cases very complicated medical and mental health issues. Edge says that underscores why they should not be in a jail cell.
That's why they should be being treated by medical professionals. That's why they should be in hospital. That's why they should be in treatment. You know, the reality is the Department of Corrections is not staffed well enough or trained well enough to triage this crisis.
Edge says that's both an indictment of the prison system and a call for change beyond it to address contributing factors like substance abuse, a lack of mental health care, and the criminalization of poverty. Kitty Douglas is back home in White Mountain now, where she was buried in July. Normally at this time of year, Nora Brown says her daughter would have been finished picking berries for the season, had her silver salmon smoked and put away. She'd be climbing trees to find rabbits and ptarmigan to hunt, bear and moose to avoid.
You know, just climb a tree, she could just climb a tree. Any tree you looked at, she would probably climb it right in front of you just to show you she could. She was just a really bad tomboy.
Brown doesn't have closure. As the inmate death toll has risen this year, she wonders, why so many? In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And if you're in a crisis or know someone experiencing one, you can call 988 for confidential professional support. And as for the weather, right now it's about 50 degrees. The low tonight is 46 degrees, and rain is expected tonight. And rain will likely continue tomorrow through Friday. And there's a flood watch for tomorrow night until the weekend. Temperatures are looking to be in the 40s and 50s this week. You're listening to KTOO.